This coming Erev Shabbos is going to have the honor and privilege of welcoming in Shabbos Chazak, Parshios Matos and Masei. And Parshios Matos begins with the mitzvah of Nedarim by Daber Moshe Rashi Matos, that Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to the heads of the tribes. Now, why is this section of Nedarim introduced to us through the Rashi HaMatos, through the heads of the tribes first? So Reb Chaim Cohen, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the famous Kabbalist known as the Chalban, he explains that the Torah is telling us that in the same way that Chachamim make takanos for the community in general, a person has the responsibility to make takanos for himself individually. That's where the idea of Nedarim come into place, in order to help him or her handle his or her own weaknesses. And these are the ways that we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so therefore, in the same way that we have Rashi HaMatos, who are there to keep us together as a tzibur, the individual sometimes has to make gedarim for himself in order for him to become close to Hashem. After that period of the parshios of Nedarim, we're told about the responsibility. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to take nekama and to go into war. And we're told, elef lamata, but Yisrael is supposed to take 1,000 people per tribe, 1,000 people per tribe, in order to go ahead. Why do we need the double language? What, God was stuttering over here? Elef lamata, right? What was going on? So Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal explained that if not for the 1,000 people learning Torah and engaging in tefillah, the 1,000 soldiers wouldn't be successful. In Torah life, we need the spiritual support for the army in the same tone and style that we need the soldiers who protect us. It's two parts of the same puzzle. Sometimes we fight, and that's a mistake, because really we need to fight not with each other, but with each other against a common enemy. And so they go ahead, and the soldiers go ahead and fight the battle, and they fight with Evi and Rechem and Sur and Hur, and of course we notice Sur comes into play as number 3. We find his name in a different place. He is the father of Kozbi Bastsur, to which the Medrash Tanhuma comments that originally he was the greatest of the kings of Midian, but he was later demoted because people looked at him funny and they said, well, you know, look at that guy, he sold his daughter out to prostitution. And so that's why he gets jumped down to 3rd in the Torah. And that's the message of the Medrash Tanhuma. And it's been pointed out that that's a strange Medrash Tanhuma. Like, think about it for a second. Here's a guy who never learned Torah, who doesn't care. And now the fact is, he dies, and his name is listed 3rd. So, like, big deal. What kind of punishment is that? So, Rabbi Yisachar Fran Shalita, the famous Rosh Yeshiva in Ner Yisrael, he noted that the question is based on an assumption that this world is a real world, and Olam Haba is but a fantasy. However, in the Olam HaEmes, where one rates, is the source of continuous embarrassment for those who are demoted. And so, therefore, Tzur realizes, yeah, his chatas, his aver, is going to be standing there for many, many more years to come. This is an important issue for us to turn around and pay attention to. We're also told, Hinei kamtem tachas avosechem tarbus anashim chatoim, when B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven try to come ahead and get a portion in the land of Eiver HaYarden. So Moshe Rabbeinu reacts very badly to that. And he says, you got up in the as a society of sinners. And the Targum says that Moshe was accusing them for learning from the spies, from the Meraglim. Now, the problem is, it's 40 years after the death of the Meraglim. When would this current generation of B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven have learned from the Meraglim? So Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, Sechat Tzadik Livrach, explains that people occasionally are influenced by the legends of people who lived before them and are like students even though there was a 40-year gap between them. And thus we need to be carefully mindful of negative influences even if they're not present, lest those things come and ruin us. And that could be an important thing for us to pay attention to. And so with that, we turn over to Parshas Masei, and at the very beginning of the Parsha, we read about all the different masos that B'nai Yisrael took, all the different travels and where they stopped. And at the end of each one, we're told, Vayesu, may such a place, Vayachanu, be such a place. And then the next day, they came, Vayesu, from the same thing that they had just camped. Why do I add all those extra words in the Torah? Why do we spend so much time knowing where they left and where they camped, only repeat that they had camped there before we know that they left? Why waste the space? They went from here to here, here to here, here to here. Why don't we just say, they went from here to here, to here, to here, to here? So Rabbi Akiva Katz notes that we journey through life to be successful. We need to know where we're coming from and where we are going. And so the Torah tells us that even if it seems obvious, each step in the journey needs to be clear where we are coming from and where we are going. after we figure out where we're going, the Torah tells us, Zos Aretz Asher Tipol Lachem Benachala Eretz Kenan L'Gvulosah. The following is the listing of land where that'll fall to you. Now, why do we need to know the various accounts of the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, both here and in Sefer Yehoshua? So Mori V'Rabbi, Rav Shechter Shalita, would quote the Vilna Gaon, who explains that studying the geography of Eretz Yisrael is a part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Moreover, the Gemara has a tradition that Eretz Yisrael was endowed with the property of Kapara. So those who are buried there, they get Kapara. But those who live there, they get an even greater degree of Kapara. And that's what we point out in the Book of Eicha, that there's a special connection between the Jewish people and Eretz Yisrael. They're often compared to a married couple. And so while we're in Golus, the land behaves like a faithful wife who's waiting for her husband to return. And Rashi in Parshas Bechukosai explains that as well. In the midst of the Tochacha, the Torah has a couple of soft words when Bnei Yisrael go into Golus about Aretz Tiyesh Mama, right? And the enemies in Eretz Yisrael will never be satisfied there. Why is that? Because the land of Israel is loyal and faithful to us. That's why whenever they take our land away, we discover that instead of growing crops on the field, instead, all they seem to be able to grow is thistles and thorns. V'hayu lochem ha'arim l'miklat. We're told after that there is the process of the borders, Moshe Rabbeinu was also told to make the Ari Miklat. And the Torah notes that the Ari Miklat stopped the Goel Adam from being able to act on his anger. In other words, the place serves as a boundary. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explains that in life too, the protection of Jewish life is the erection of boundaries, which helps a person realize that where he or she will go and where he or she won't go, where and what he will do, where and what we won't do. This is important for us to realize. We have a responsibility in life to know where we are, where we're going, and where we're not going as well. Finally, in the Haftorah this week, we continue in the idea of Paranusa, and we quote from Yirmiyahu in Perek Beis, Pasuk Hei, Vayelchu Acharei Hevel Vayehebalu. They followed that which is nil, and they too became nil as well. Why the double language? So Rebach Mordechai Ezrachi Shalita explained that there's a double lesson here. The first is that when you follow nothingness, you become a nothing. And the second is that it's not because we do something that we become nothing. Rather, in Shemayim, they hold us accountable for the fact that we were endowed with a chelak elokamimal, we were endowed with a heavenly peace, and we wasted it on nothingness. When we waste potential on nothingness, we are chayev for the wasted result, not only for the way and the time we wasted. And so therefore, it's our responsibility not to be wasteful in life. And hopefully in that regard, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem us and give us the opportunity, Chadei Shameinu Kekedim. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us Bracha, Yeshua, V'Nechama, and may we too one day be able to go back to Eretz Yisrael, Berachamim. Everyone have a wonderful, terrific Shabbos to all.